Good afternoon. You're still here. I barely got time at lunchtime to eat my lunch and read the questions. Well, I had time to read the questions, but I didn't really have time to fully digest the questions because the questions are quite deep and rich and nuanced. And as I've mentioned, I'm not an expert in ADHD, so some of the questions felt important and yet beyond the scope of my knowledge, experience, or expertise, or the scope of this day, unfortunately. And I don't really have a great answer to know what to do with that dilemma, except acknowledge that there's a lot in the room. There's a lot related to this complexity. You know, there's questions about how does this relate to and distinguish between this and trauma, and how trauma induces patterns of avoidance and distractibility, and what's the relationship between ADHD and cognitive decline, and how can one distinguish those as we get older, and a whole host of other questions. So I'll kind of weave in what I can with what I've read, and and clearly more is required, you know, more time, more. More practice, but hopefully you can also find resources in your own world, life, community, wherever you look for support. There's some questions about the relationship between mindfulness and ADHD and practice and ADHD, and certainly weaving in a little bit of that. I'm focusing more on the ADHD itself than specific practices, although I'm certainly weaving in some heartfulness, kindness practice. I do want to do a little mindfulness practice. And a couple of things to say about mindfulness and ADHD, and I pointed it to a little bit, and fortunately it's raining because I want to go outside, but we'll have to do that another time, or you'll have to come and do a nature day with me, because you'll see that nature practice is quite conducive to people with the kind of divergent thinking and minds that we have. But what I've, I'm not fully conversant with the literature, but, mindfulness is often considered a support for people with ADHD. But mindfulness is a very broad field, and there are many practices within mindfulness. Mostly, they lean towards focus. Right? Often people associate mindfulness with focus. Mindfulness is not focus. Mindfulness is awareness. And awareness can be focused, or it can be open. It can be narrow, or it can be wide. Awareness is a lens, and it can go in any different way. It can be very linear, can be very 360. And so one needs to know what is the right kind of practice that's suitable to my mind at this time. Right? So, and I, trained and done a lot of different practices and will employ different practices depending on my mind, my energy, my location. But mostly what I'm doing is what's called open awareness, or in psychology called open monitoring. In nature I call it sensory awareness, where we're just being present to the full sensory experience, inner and outer. But another thing I emphasize in nature practice, is the naturalness of attention, the naturalness of awareness. And it's something very important to understand, I think, particularly having ADHD, where our attention is often flitting around to many things seemingly at once. Well, let's do some practice. So let's all stand. If standing isn't good for you, then stay sitting, or you might want to lean against a wall. Or you might want to stand behind your chair and put the backs of your hand on the chair for support. So figure out what's good for your body. And if standing isn't good, because sometimes it's uncomfortable or painful or whatever, then just use another alternate posture. So I'm also doing a standing practice because after lunch, you know what happens after lunch when you meditate? You fall asleep. Which is okay. I like to nap, but you know, napping and meditation, not quite the same. So, but they do have relaxation as the common theme. Okay, so standing. So the reason, a few things about standing. So there's some questions about, you know, how does mindfulness help with regulation, right? Since we're talking about emotion and we get emotionally dysregulated quite easily, reactive, or vulnerable, or collapse into shame, or very defensive. There's a whole, you know, sort of sweep of different emotions that can happen as we are in our ADHD experience. Standing is actually very grounding. So right now, just bring your attention to your feet, and you maybe turn your gaze down, and just feel your feet. Maybe move a little in your feet, so you can kind of feel that sense of even pushing down, feeling the sense of gravity, like feeling that you're standing on the earth. If you're outside and it's a warm day, standing outside barefoot, grounding, earthing. What I like to do when I'm doing my nature practice is I stand with a tree. So trees know a lot about standing meditation. They do all the time. So you stand facing a tree or leaning up against a tree and you feel that, oh, right, rooted. So imagine you're sinking roots down into the ground through your feet. Have your knees soft, ankles soft. Just feel your body. And just this posture can be grounding. If you're feeling a lot of emotion, bring your attention down to your feet. And another practice that helps, can help ground and calm is various kinds of breath techniques. There's a lot of breath techniques out now with the rise of breathworks and pranayama and Wim Hof breathing and other kinds of breathing practice. So we just begin to feel your breath. Notice how you might feel your breath differently standing versus sitting. I'm going to suggest we do a couple of breathing techniques, very simple, very immediate. This one's had a fair amount of research done with it. However imperfectly I might guide it. So we're going to breathe in as deep as we can through the nostrils for a big inhale. So we feel like we're full. Hold it and then take another and then a long. So long inhale through the nose. And another. Long, slow exhale. And again, one more time. And you can sometimes take two puffs at the top. I'll do that one more time and do two puffs, two inhales. And now let your breath go back to normal rhythm. And feeling your whole torso, your chest, your belly breathing. You might be feeling a little stimulation from the breath. Feeling your torso breathing, feeling your feet grounding. If you want to bring more awareness to your breathing, put your hands on your belly. Feel the breath in your belly, either in your belly or in your diaphragm. Then you can invite a slightly longer exhale, just a little bit. Breathing in through your nose, breathing out through your mouth. And you let your hands go and let the focus on the breath go, and just be present to whatever's here in the entirety of your experience. You might notice your whole body. You might notice feeling of what's around you. You might notice the sounds, silence. You might notice body temperature, warmth, coolness. You might notice emotions bubbling up. You might notice images, thoughts. You might notice your energy, tired, bright. You might feel full from lunch. So we're going to shift into an open awareness practice. Open awareness is simply being present to whatever's happening moment to moment. So just attuning to your experience, what is present for you right now? Body sensation, sounds, hearing, sights and seeing, smell, thinking, feeling. And then notice moment to moment how our attention moves. You might notice the sound because I'm talking. And then when I'm quiet, you might notice feet on the floor, achy legs. You might notice the sound of silence or the AC. Might be aware of colors in the eyes, of breath moving, touch of your clothing, coolness of the air, body swaying. Awareness moment to moment, whatever's arising, thought, feeling, perception, sensation, mood, breath, sound. So in this practice, there's no distraction. There's just aware. What are you noticing? Moment to moment, hearing, seeing, sensing, touching, smelling, feeling, restless, calm, bored, pleasure, pain. Doesn't matter. What's happening? Can you be present to what's happening? You might notice what's happening. You might notice, oh, there's a relationship. There's a reaction. There's a resistance. There's a liking. There's a disliking. Including that. And opening your eyes. And continue that practice. So when the eyes are open, most of our attention goes to the eyes. 60% probably. So notice that you're seeing, notice what you're looking at. Color, shape, form, people, walls, nature. But also be aware of the other stuff. Maybe you're swaying, feeling the pressure of the ground on your feet. Feeling tired, warm, breathing, hearing, seeing, sensing. And then your attention at some point will mysteriously sort of wander and get absorbed into a thought, usually, spacing out. And we, as it were, disappear from this moment. And then we wake up from a thought trance and like, oh, I'm back here. Oh, standing, listening, seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, feeling. So everything is welcome, everything is included. And now bring to mind, like we did earlier, bring to mind the last time that ADHD for you was difficult. You forgot something, you lost something, you let someone down, whatever it is, just some recent thing. You arrived late, you forgot your lunch, whatever. Just call something to mind. Notice if that elicits any strong feeling, reaction. Maybe some emotion, maybe some judgment. And then shift your attention back to your feet, standing. Bring your attention back to your breath. Maybe take one of those long, deep breaths that we were practicing, breathing, inhaling through the nose. If that's helpful or grounding or supportive, do that a couple more times. Or not. And now if you can, look out the window. You might need to turn around. You might look just whichever direction. Look at something outside. Hillside, tree, sky, plants, rain, green. Just take something in. Now find something that you like. Notice something pleasurable. Color, shape, movement, bird, animal, flora. Really, really give all your attention to looking outside. Okay, where is your ADHD problem in this moment? Really? And you're absorbed into something beautiful that you enjoy, maybe the plants here, whatever, something outside, inside. Where is the problem in this moment? Gone. It's just you being present to seeing. To nature, to enjoying. And then the thought might come, I'm not doing this right, I'm bored, what else are we going to do? What am I doing after this? I should have gone to another workshop, or whatever. And then you come back, oh, look at that, thinking, boredom, restless, okay, come back to seeing. Okay. So we just did a few different practices there. Kind of weaving in a lot into one. I could have broken them up, may have been better, but just for sake of time, I wove them together. So we did standing. Standing is a good grounding practice. Another really good practice is just walking. So if you feel like you're getting overwhelmed or stressed or you can't cope or you're just kind of just going nuts with your staring at your computer or whatever it is, your to-do list, Just get up and go for a walk for 5 minutes. Walk around your house, walk outside, look at the sky. Just break the energy, shift. You give your mind, your eyes a break. I mean, I'll go out to my mailbox, which is like 30 steps from my front door, and I'll come back and I feel like a different person. I just gave myself a break. You know, something very ordinary, very mundane, got outside. Oh, wow, look at that. I didn't know it was a spring day. Look at that. Oh, interesting. And then I come back to my desk and like, I feel like a different person, you know. Better to go for a hike for an hour, but we don't have an hour, so. You know. So I'm talking about what's helpful in the moment, right? Standing can be very grounding. Walking can be very grounding, especially walking mindfully. We can use breath. Breath is used for regulation in all kinds of different ways, right? Long, slow exhales tend to downregulate the activated nervous system. I'll often take long, slow breaths when I'm feeling agitated or frustrated. Where the frickin' hell's that file? I'm sure it's here somewhere. I'll take another breath. Okay. Now I'm going to stand. I'm going to go get a cup of tea. This is too annoying. Okay. So use breath like that. Breathing, standing, walking, grounding, looking outside. I make sure whenever I'm working, I'm either outside on my laptop or my laptop's by a window, so I'm always referencing outside because for me, nature's very regulating. It's calming, it gives a sense of perspective, it gives a sense of space, it brings me into the present moment, it shifts me from whatever mental machination I'm in, and I ground and arrive. And then when I come back to whatever it is I'm dealing with, oh, I'm more resourced. Right? So what I'm talking about here is resourcing. How do you resource yourself? Right? So I like to make sure I get out into nature early in the day. I like to make sure I take a cold shower. That's a very quick source of regulation. Sometimes I swim in the bay, cold water, very regulating. Right? You might not want to jump in the cold bay, but sometimes in England, where I come from, you know, the national resourcing regulation system of the whole country is, let's have a cup of tea. Let's have a cup of tea. It'll all be fixed with a cup of tea. Okay? That's grounding. I drink a lot of tea. It's kind of grounding. Not caffeine tea all the time, because that wouldn't be grounding. But so, any questions about any of that we just did? So, there's no fixes. Maybe you came here looking for a fix. There's no fixes. There's meeting the experience in the moment, and there's working with the experience in the moment. And all these things are tools and resources. I said I wasn't going to give you a toolkit of tools and resources, but there are some simple things that help us ground and balance and stay resourced and regulated so we can actually meet whatever's going on internally, externally, with a bit more skill. Does that make sense? So we're resourcing this, right? Some of you might disagree with this fixes and tools, but I don't want to get into that argument. But what I'm wanting to focus on is what's helping this being here, right? And there's 101 great books. Someone just gave me a book about how to become truly organized, right? There's many great methodologies for that, right? That's not what we're doing here. I'm looking at how are we meeting it internally? How are we working with this stuff internally? Because you take care of this, you will have better facility at managing what's going on, you know, in your mind, in your ADHD, in your functioning. Right? So to look at how you improve or manage and functioning and all of that, that's a much broader scope of attention, right? Very worthy subject, but outside the scope of what we're doing. So the last thing I was doing was open awareness, right? So I asked how many of you meditate. How many of you, for the most part, use breath and focusing on breath as sort of the primary thing you're doing in meditation? Just raise your hand. Okay? How's that going for you? Is it helpful? Some? Most times? Yeah. So there's two sides to the... So there's what's interesting about mindfulness and ADHD And given the mindfulness of breathing, which is a focused attention practice, there's pros and cons with any practice. And you sit down if you want. If you need to energy, I'm standing because that gives me energy. For some people, doing mindfulness of breath with ADHD is a setup for misery. Because what do you notice? You're mostly distracted most of the time. But just so you know, so is everybody else. That isn't an ADHD thing. That is just a mind that's not very, you know, an untrained mind is not very focused. And add in, you know, 11 hours of screen time, which is what we average look at the screen. And, our multitasking habits all day and all of that, you know, we have a distracted attention. It's what some sociologists called, we live in constant partial attention. And that's very true for ADHD. Our attention is almost constantly partially divided, you know. So I was eating my lunch and I was reading the questions. You were eating lunch and probably having a chat or checking your phone. And you drive in your car home and you listen to the radio. And you go, you know, and on, right? It's just that's how we live, mostly. So for some, and at some times, mindful breathing, just that simple focus to breath and absorbing attention into the breath is really helpful because it helps gather and collect the scattered mind, which we mostly have, right? And allow some of you to absorb and settle and focus, which is grounding, good training for the mind. For other people, it's just a setup for failure. Because what you notice is you're with the breath 5% and you're with everything else 95%. Right? So in that case, for some of you, open awareness practice, spacious awareness, open monitoring, sensory awareness, got different names, is more helpful. So if you've sat with me in nature or you want to sit with me in nature, that's what I'll be teaching is open awareness, sensory awareness. And what that looks like, and it's one of the practices I teach when I first start teaching, when we go outside, is I call it an arriving practice, but it's really just like we just did, what are you noticing now? What are you aware of now? And 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 now, and now, and now. And it might seem pretty scattered because your attention's all over the place. I'm noticing, like if I articulate my experience, I'm noticing the exit signs, there's some constriction in my chest, I'm feeling warm, and I'm feeling self-conscious, I'm noticing my hands move, feeling another flush of warmth, I'm noticing the light in the window, I'm looking at the camera, wondering if it's on, noticing my glasses, and taking a breath and feeling my feet on the floor and my woolly socks, and I'm happy I'm wearing woolly socks, and my mouth is dry, I'm noticing you, I'm hearing you laugh, I'm noticing the space in the room and this person getting something, I'm noticing my hand move and my constriction of my jacket, right? That's just being present to experience, right? And you'd have your own version of that, right? That's normal consciousness, right? And it might feel scattered, but it's actually just, we're just noticing, you know, sensory just stimuli, internal and external stimuli. That may be a much more conducive style of meditation for you because that might be just naturally what you're doing anyway. And to try and force all that into, no, forget all that, focus on your breath, might not be so conducive for your mind, right? Or for your mind in this moment. Does that make sense? Right? So when you sit in meditation, I sit down in meditation, sometimes indoors, sometimes outdoors, I'll just sense in like, well, what's useful today? Mostly I just sit and I'm just present to whatever's here, open awareness. But sometimes I'm like, I'm either drawn to my breath or I think it'd be useful to focus on my breath. Or I might do a loving kindness practice because there's a need for some love and compassion. Some of you might have a mantra practice, also very concentrating. So you want to be discerning about what's appropriate to you, given your mind and perhaps your ADD-ness and where you are in that moment, you know. And if you're tired, you might do a standing meditation. If you're tired, you might do a lying down meditation because you're too tired to do anything else. Sometimes at night, you might want your mind to calm down and you put on some beautiful music and you do a listening meditation. Or you put on some nature sounds and you listen to nature sounds and you let that be the meditation. There are all ways to be mindful, which means to be present. Less important actually what the practice is, more that you're doing something that supports you being present. All right. Is that helpful? Yeah? So there's lots of guided meditations. I have a bunch on my website. There's a bunch of apps. I just recorded a 15-part series on awareness, open awareness on Sam Harris's app, Waking Up. But you listen to different, you know, listen to Joseph Goldstein or teachers who you really like in this tradition and see what meditation works. Right? Guided meditation helps because basically any guidance just reminds you to keep doing what the practice is instructing you to do. Right? So that was this wrap is a little bit in response to some of the questions about mindfulness. There was a question about mindfulness and impulsivity. There was actually a few questions about that. And this is such a fascinating thing to look at. I mean, ADHD is a fascinating thing to look at from the perspective of a mindfulness practice because it's fascinating. I'm sitting at my desk. I have 5 minutes to complete something before the top of the hour. It's 5 to 4, and I've got to give a talk at 4. And that impulse will become, how did my football team get on today? Which means soccer, by the way. Anyhow, I'm a big fan of the English Premier League and soccer. And I'm like, it's 5 to 4. I've got to give this talk, but I really want to know the score. And I feel that impulse. Or I want to check the weather because I want to go for a hike after this talk at 4. Or any number of things, you know, you name it. Fill in the blank, right? And then you feel that impulse, and then it can feel really important and compelling. Right? That's part of the condition. But you always have a choice, theoretically, with mindfulness. Do you follow the impulse? Do you let it go? Sometimes you follow it. Sometimes I follow it even though I know I shouldn't follow it. Because I do, or because I want to, or because, I don't know why, I just do. And I watch myself going, Mark, you got 3 minutes to go, and you're really choosing to look at the score and not focus on this talk? Yeah, I'm doing that. And I come back, oh, I've got 1 minute left, okay. Well, now the adrenaline's really going. That gets the dopamine up, that gets me to focus. Okay? Maybe that's why I do it. Okay? And I used to give the Monday night talk here a lot. And again, same thing, I'd leave myself the whole day to prepare. And I wouldn't start preparing till 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And the talk's at bloody 7 o'clock. And I'm like, for God's sake. Like, but at some point, I just realized that's what I need to do. Because I can't focus without the adrenaline. Well, I can, but it really helps with the adrenaline. That's why ADHD meds are so much amphetamine-based. It raises a dopamine and other things. Crystallizes our attention, energy, focus. So with mindfulness, we can see the impulsivity, and theoretically it gives choicefulness. Right? Or actually, often what it reveals is, oh, I actually don't have choice. I'm just acting out my conditioning. And I go with the impulse or I don't go with the impulse. And is it really true that I'm deciding yes or no? Or is it just the conditioning moving through me? And that's a deeper philosophical reflection. Yeah. Okay. So much to say. Next time I do this, I'll do this as a weekend, as a 2-day, because it really is like ridiculous amount of things to talk about. So I'm just, this is, you know, you might want to come back or not and do this with me. So, because you're going to be fixed after this, so you won't come back, you know. You can tell your friends, you know. Okay. So one of the things that we did this morning, we looked at the emotional sort of intensity and reactivity, and we didn't get time to do something, and I'm just wondering about that. So what we were exploring before lunch was the emotional dimension, the emotional challenge, the emotional reactivity that we can feel, emotional pain that we can feel. And I think it might be helpful for us to do a little exploration of that. And again, I'm thinking of doing this in a triad, and just to, for me, for you to hear my process and to be metacognitive about this, and I'm not saying this is the right way or the best way, but I'm thinking this is useful, and I'm hoping it's useful, and we'll do it, and you can tell me whether it's useful, and you can tell me if it's not useful, nicely, or not. what I want us to do, I can't find my notes. Surprise! Where did it go? Here it went away, it's too many notes. Ah, here we go. Nope. Just too many notes up here. I'm just going to make it up because I wrote it out. So we're going to get into triads again, and I want us to just to circle back to what we were doing this morning, and I want you to share a little about how and where is ADHD for you emotionally challenging. So we already explored a little bit about ADHD in general, where is it challenging for you, but I'd like you to focus on the emotional dimension of it. Yeah? Because I think, for me, that's certainly the kernel of the pain. Yes, I might be scattered, or I might be, you know, not very efficient, or don't do tasks, or whatever. But it's the emotional stuff in relationship to that that's really the pain point. Yeah. You know, you can have suffering around being inefficient, but we suffer more around the emotions of shame and judgment and hopelessness or whatever, helplessness or anxiety or, yeah. So we can do the same thing. Into triads, could be the same triad. Do you want to do the same triads or different triads? Same. Okay, that makes it easier. Some people might have left at lunch. It looks like most people are here, but there might be a little bit of a reconfiguration. And again, just we'll do this for 10 minutes, so 3 minutes each. Tell me a way that having ADHD for you is emotionally challenging or painful. Tell me a way. Having ADHD is emotionally challenging or painful. Yeah. So groups of three. As soon as you get into a group of three, first person, off you go. And raise your hand if you no longer have a group of three. And please begin the exercise. And if you're down to a group of two, just begin the exercise.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.